Well, I forgot my stopwatch on the pew, so I usually watch the time so I don't preach too long, and I don't have it in front of me now, so there's no telling what'll happen. It is a blessing for us to be here this morning, to say the least. March 22nd, it was. We had a reduced number in 7 weeks. Hard to believe. 7 weeks. We have had 10 or less here. We have had people watching the live stream. In the last 4 weeks, we've also added the FM transmitter so that people could be in the parking lot. Safe to say, none of us, no one, has been through this before. No, in our lot, and some people here are really old. No one has ever been through this before. So it is unprecedented, and yet we have done the very best that we can. We don't know exactly what's going to come next. Sure, hopefully, we won't have a spike and have all kinds of other challenges that come about. But nonetheless, I wanted to say a couple of thank yous. Thank you to the elders. They have spent a great deal of time looking at their Bibles, thinking about the situation with all of us here, trying to work out the challenge, the difficult challenges that this has presented for all of us. I certainly appreciate the guidance and the leadership that they have provided for us. Really appreciate the ones that have provided the electronics in order for us to do the live streaming and the FM transmitter, Stephen Boyer. And I would especially like to acknowledge Billy. I mean, it wasn't just this last couple of months, but for the last several years, there's been a lot of emphasis and a lot of work being done on our capabilities, and literally hours and hours were spent by Billy up here making recordings and making sure everything was working together so well. To the Bible class teachers, all of the adult classes have continued except for one, and the younger classes as well, many of them. I don't know what all has been done because a lot of it wasn't put on the website, but I know a lot of work was done. My grandson said the names of the 12 sons of Jacob, and so I know that there was some work done by some of the teachers of the very young classes, in order to, and parents as well, to continue with that study. The group leaders who have reached out to those within our group, and just moms and dads who have continued on, and just a tremendous amount of good that was expressions of kindness and love that were given. But mainly I just want to say thanks to God, who has never forsaken us, never left us, has been with us every step of the way, and continues to be, and will continue to be. As you've noticed, things are a little bit different. This is what I've had to preach to the last several weeks, and it was nice, but y'all were you didn't have a lot of expression on your face. No, didn't have a lot of crying babies. It was pretty quiet in here, but now things have changed. Do we have a picture of that here now? Maybe one more. There we go. Don't have everybody in that picture, but it's certainly a blessing for us to be together again. Not everybody's able to be with us. We appreciate those that are a little bit vulnerable, who are still at home. We appreciate you still watching the live streaming, and hopefully, as things continue to progress in a positive way, you'll be able to be here soon. But it is a privilege for us to be able to be together in the same place. And I would like to emphasize, there are a lot of things perhaps that we learn as we go through challenges, but I would like to emphasize something that is really nothing new, but something that I have felt more in this time, and that is the blessing that we have of fellowship. The fellowship of us being a family of Christians, and also the fellowship that we have with God. So first, being together again in the same place, having fellowship among brethren. If you would, the book of 1 John, the first chapter, we find John writing to Christians and talking about what he was all about, what the message was all about that he was preaching. He says in verse 3, 1 John chapter 1, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that..." So here is the purpose, here's the intent, here's the focus, the drive, "that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." This is the purpose of gospel preaching. This is the purpose of the Word of God. This is the purpose of the message of God, which is a summary of the plan of God for all of eternity, all of our history as a universe, as a human race, and that is fellowship, partnership with each other, partnership with God. It is the Bible, the Word of God, is not simply a lot of information, a lot of facts that we are to absorb. It is a relationship that God wants to have with us and that we can have with one another. Same chapter, verse 7. He says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." A lot of times when we look at this verse and other verses like this, we emphasize our duty, our responsibility, that the condition that we must meet. And John says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, it is imperative that we walk in the light. Imperative, since God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, that we participate, that we walk in that light, that we have a practice of doing what's right. And John says this a variety of ways in this letter. He talks about keeping the commandments. He talks about practicing righteousness. He talks about walking as He walks. He talks about abiding in His Word. And here he talks about walking in the light. But what we want to emphasize now is the result of that, is the blessing that comes from that. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Partnership, communion, friendship, fellowship, togetherness. That is the result that we have as we all walk in unison together. And what this emphasizes to us is our relationship with all Christians. You know, John is writing this epistle, and he's not physically with the brethren that he's writing to, or else he wouldn't have written the letter. That's why you write letters, because you're not with them at the time. But John says, you walk in the light, I walk in the light, we walk in the light. We have fellowship. Even though we're not in the same vicinity, even in the same local congregation, we have fellowship one with another. John did with the brethren that he was writing to. And as we have gone through this pandemic and this separation physically, I hope that it has encouraged you to reach out to brethren all around. I have heard stories of people who have gone and watched worship services of brethren in a variety of places, other places, and heard sermons and watched videos of other brethren. I know myself, I've been able to study with brethren in Chile and in Venezuela and in Colombia and in India. Bernard helped me connect with the brethren there. And I'm sure that you have had similar experiences as well. And that is, one of the reasons why I like to go overseas is sometimes you go to one of these little villages and people have the tendency to feel so isolated from the rest of the world. It's like, it's just us Christians here in this little place, and nobody else is doing the same things. Well, actually, there are people all over the world, and coming in contact with them and saying, yeah, we have brethren in Alabama who are doing the same thing that you're doing here. And hopefully, in this time, you have reached out and have felt the fact that we are not alone in our pursuit of what is good and what is right. There are brethren all over the United States, all over the world, who are doing the same things that we are, proclaiming the same message that we are. But our fellowship is not just with those out there removed from us physically, but who are sharing the same faith and the same walk, but with us here at Jordan Park. Being away from each other has forced me to appreciate you even more. You know, sometimes you say you don't appreciate something until you lose it. Well, we didn't really lose it. We didn't totally lose our fellowship. But we sure were restricted in it. And I felt it. I felt it very deeply. Because we're stronger together. As we walk in the light together, and as we struggle together, and as we talk about our understanding of the Word of God together, and as we fight the good fight of faith together, there is a strength that we can have that we don't have with people of the world, that we don't have if we're simply by ourselves. So we have to say thank you to each other and thank you to God who has really designed it this way. Because from the very beginning, fellowship has characterized the New Testament church. You just look at a couple of passages here in the book of Acts and elsewhere. Acts chapter 2, very familiar. We have on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches and the apostles and people become Christians. In verse 41, those who gladly received the word were baptized. In that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So individuals became Christians. They became saved. They became in fellowship with God. But notice the very next verse. It says, and they continued, not he continued and she over there continued and she over there and he over there. They, as a body, as a group, as a team, as people in partnership with one another, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. But it specifically draws attention to the fact that they were partnering together. It is the design of God that we not be by ourselves, just working out our own lives and struggles by ourselves. It is the design of God that we share with one another. We are stronger together. In Acts, the 8th chapter, about three or four years later, there is a tremendous persecution that is waged against the church. And it says in verse 1 that Saul was consenting to his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Here are brethren who were Christians, they were a body, and yet now there is persecution against them, and I'm sure that they had the courage to stand for the Lord and even die for the Lord. Because Stephen just had, because some of them are going to be put in prison, because some of them are going to die for the cause of Christ. But they didn't stay there in Jerusalem, did they? And the reason why I believe that they had courage and not cowardice is because of what they did when they scattered. They didn't stand there and all be killed. They were scattered. And verse 4 says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They went out and they continued to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? Churches were established all over the world. Churches were established where they went for their own safety. They left their group. They went and they continued to preach. And wherever they went to preach and individuals were converted, churches were established. We know that because of the rest of the book of Acts. Particularly in chapter 9, we find that the Apostle Paul is going to Damascus and he's looking for Christians. Where did those Christians come from? They came from the people in Acts chapter 8 who were scattered and who continue to preach the message of Jesus Christ. Apparently there was a church there in Damascus. Saul went there to find them and to bring them back in order to put them on trial for their faith. Saul becomes a Christian. And notice just a couple of things what happens with Saul in chapter 9 and verse 19. It says, and when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Why did he spend time with the disciples of Damascus? Because that's what we do. That's what Christians do. We band together for mutual strength, for fellowship together. Well, they're going to kill the Apostle Paul. They're going to kill Saul. He doesn't stay there, although he has courage to die for the Lord. He actually leaves. And he goes down to Jerusalem. And what does he do when he goes down to Jerusalem? Verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. We find that as a pattern in the New Testament, do we not? That Christians met with Christians. That Christians banded together. That Christians had fellowship with one another. They put a priority on doing what's right. Now, why is that so important? Well, I just want to look at one aspect, one blessing that we get from it. Let's look at the book of Romans in the first chapter. And note the attitude of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church there in Rome. And he says in verse 9, this is Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by our mutual faith, both of you and me. The Apostle Paul had never even met these brethren. He had never been there to Rome before. He didn't know them personally. It wasn't like, well, I want to come to Rome because, you know, I'm a citizen of Rome. And you are citizens of Rome if you're in Rome. And that's really important to me. I want to meet more citizens of Rome. It's not the motivation of the Apostle Paul. Paul was not saying, well, you know, I have a tent business, and I really think I could expand my business if I came to Rome. I think I could make some good contacts, and I think I could sell a whole lot more tents that way. That's not the intent of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says, brethren, I never even met you, but I want to come and I want to help. I want to help establish you. I want to help give you some spiritual gift. Maybe he's talking about laying on of hands and giving them some miraculous gift. Maybe he's talking about a non-miraculous gift that he might give them of encouraging them in their walk with the Lord. But nonetheless, he says, I want to come to you. I want to help you spiritually. That's what brethren do. And I know that that will encourage me by our mutual faith together. As we see others around us making the same sacrifices, doing the same study, following the Lord in the same way, we find ourselves mutually encouraged. And the Apostle Paul said, even though I haven't been with you yet, even though I've never met you yet, what I can do is pray for you. And that he did. He prayed for these brethren. And a whole lot of other brethren too, as you read the other letters that he writes. He prayed for his brethren because he loved them and he was concerned about them. Interestingly, let's go to the end of the book now. So at the beginning of the book, he says, I want to come see you because I want to help you, establish you, and I also want to be encouraged by you. He announces again his intentions to come. First, he's going to go to Jerusalem because he was going to take some financial relief to them because apparently there were some benevolent needs there. But after he goes to Jerusalem, he wants to come to them. And so he says, we'll start the reading here in verse 29. Romans chapter 15. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. He asks them, please pray. I'm going to be praying. You pray that I can come for you. Judea, there is a threat that there is going to be some persecution awaiting me there. Please pray to God that that doesn't happen. Pray to God that I am not persecuted by those that do not believe so that I can come to you. I want to come to you with joy. I want to come to you and be refreshed. Well, what happened to Paul after this? Even though he was praying, and he asked his brethren to pray, that nothing happened to him in Jerusalem, but so that he could come visit them in Rome. What happened when he went to? You know what God said to that prayer? He said, you need to see the big picture. And you don't see it, brethren. You can pray that Paul not be persecuted in Jerusalem. You can pray, but I have to say no. Because there's something else that needs to happen here. So in fact, the Apostle Paul goes to Jerusalem, and there he is arrested. And there he sits in prison for 4 years. He can't go freely for 4 years. He is withheld. But does he go to Rome? Well, actually, he does go to Rome. Well, he's a prisoner, and he's going to go on trial in Rome, but he does go to Rome. What happens when the brethren hear that he's on his way to Rome? Well, after the shipwreck and all of that, he arrives, starts to arrive. Go back with me to Acts chapter 28, and historically, here's what happens. Chapter 28 and verse 15. It says, from there, when the brethren heard, talking about the brethren in Rome, heard about us, they came to meet us as far as the Appii Forum and the Three Inns. Notice what happens. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Remember what he prayed? He prayed, I want to come to you so that I can help you, encourage you, strengthen you, establish you, and so that I can be encouraged, so that I can be refreshed. So pray for me so that that can all work together well. Well, it didn't work out exactly. He was put in prison. But when he saw them, he was greatly encouraged. What would we be without each other? Thank God for fellowship. We can be thankful to God also for fellowship with Him. Let's go back to 1 John, this time chapter 4, because we have the privilege of abiding in God and God in us. We have fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. John says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Yes, this is conditional, just like us having fellowship with each other is conditional. If I'm walking in the light, you're walking in the light, we have fellowship. You stop walking in the light, I can't have fellowship with you. I stop walking in the light, you can't have fellowship with me. We've got to walk in the light in order to have fellowship with each other. Our fellowship with each other is based upon our relationship with God. You break your relationship with God, we can't have fellowship with each other. Our relationship with God is conditional. We've got to believe certain things. We must practice certain things. And John identifies some of those. Notice, again, he says in chapter 4 and verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, you don't confess that, you don't have fellowship. Notice back in chapter 2 and in verse 22 beginning, he gives a similar but a different qualification or condition for us to have fellowship with him. He says, chapter 2 and verse 22, who is a liar? But he who denies Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son, notice what he says here, does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. If we want to have the Father, if we want to abide in the Father, if we want to have fellowship with the Father, we have to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ. In chapter 4, in verse 2 through 4, he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now we could emphasize, and rightly so, you've got to believe Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to believe that he came in the flesh. You've got to believe that he's the Christ. That's what we have to do. But what we want to emphasize instead is the result of that. We abide in God, God in us. We have the Father, we have the Son, and the Son and the Father have us. There is a relationship, there is a partnership, there is a communion, there is a friendship that comes because of that. Now, when we're talking about our relationship, our fellowship with each other, that can be hindered by time and space. Physical space can separate our fellowship, can limit our fellowship. Our fellowship with God is not limited by space. Where could we go where we are not in fellowship with God? Could you go to a high mountain and is God not there? Could you go into a desert? Could you go into the ocean and God not be found? Could you go into a quarantined home? Is God with us when we're in a quarantine, when we're all by ourselves and nobody else can come in? We can't go out. Is God with us? We are in fellowship with God 24/7, all of our lives. It is a wonderful blessing that we can have from Him. Let's go back to chapter 4 and look. Continue our reading here. We read verse 15. Let's continue in verse 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in Him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We, because of our fellowship, abide in the love of God. We, because of our fellowship, have boldness in the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, during this pandemic, people are afraid. They're afraid of contracting a serious virus. They're afraid of losing companions in death. They're afraid of losing their own life by in physical death. What can separate us from the love of God? What can keep us from our eternal salvation? What can hinder us from going home with God for all eternity? Nothing. Nothing. Except for ourselves. I mean, we can turn our back on Him, go the other way and sin and lose it. But nothing. There is no power. There is no force that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing. So we can have boldness. We can have confidence because of the fellowship that God has. One specific application, we'll look at the Apostle Paul again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul begins this letter differently than many of his letters. Most of his letters, he starts, I thank God for every remembrance of you. I'm thankful, I have prayed continually for you. He talks about the brethren there many times. But in Ephesians, he begins differently. He begins with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he does it here also. He starts with God. Nothing wrong with starting with fellowship with brethren and prayer for brethren, but certainly we must acknowledge the blessing of our relationship with God as well. And Paul does that at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul looks at his relationship with God, and what he sees is comfort. It is a word that means to be called alongside, someone who stands beside you and shoulders your load with you, someone who stands beside you and helps you through the tribulations, the difficulties. And he saw God as a God not simply who is far removed in heaven, but a God who comes with us and stands with us, is in fellowship, is in partnership with us, and helps us through the difficult times. We are stronger when we are with God because God is strongest of all. There is nothing that can be stronger than God. And the Apostle Paul felt that in his tribulations. Notice at the end of the book, in chapter 11, starting with verse 22. We're not going to read all of these. You're familiar with the listing here of the tribulations that the Paul had to go through. The tribulations on the road, on his journeys, the tribulations among those who were his enemies, the tribulation of those even within the church who were not following after what's right. In chapter 12, he talks about the tribulation that he had of the thorn in the flesh, that he prayed to the Lord three times, but the Lord did not take away. But at the end of all of that, notice what he says, chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And he, speaking of Jesus, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I most gladly will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The Apostle Paul, because of the fellowship he had with God, felt the strength of Jesus Christ in his life. And because of that, he was even happy when he was weak, because then he looked up and he found strength in God. This world would do well to look up when we have faced something that has made us so weak. But we as Christians know where that source of comfort and strength is. And so I hope that you have felt God with you every day, every step of the way, because he has been there for us. He is with us. And he will always be with us. Thank God for his comfort and his strength. We don't know what's going to happen on the earth in the next few days, next few months, next few years. But what gives us meaning in life? What defines who we are? What gives us strength? It's our fellowship with each other, our fellowship with God. If you do not yet enjoy that, we would encourage you to become a Christian this morning. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess his name, be baptized to begin this journey of fellowship with God and with one another. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you are one and have broken that fellowship because you're not walking in the light, we'd encourage you to come back to the Lord as well. Won't you come while we stand and sing?